A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. After Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples, he said, I solemnly assure you, no slave is greater than his master. No messenger outranks the one who sent him. Once you know all these things, blessed will you be if you put them into practice. What I say is not said of all, for I know the kind of men I chose. My purpose here is to fulfill the scripture. He who partook of bread with me has raised his heel against me. I tell you this now before it takes place, so that when it takes place, you may believe that I am. I solemnly assure you, he who accepts anyone I send accepts me, and in accepting me, accepts the one who sent me. The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel today doesn't speak directly of Jesus' death and resurrection, but it takes place as part of the conversation at the Last Supper, the night before Jesus dies, and he knows what's in store for him. So every word and action that night is framed by the events that will follow. Since this is John's gospel, we don't hear the words of consecration. Rather, John reminds us of yet another event that took place that night, which dramatizes the actions that Jesus said, the words, do this in memory of me, when he blessed, broke, and asked his disciples to eat and to share the cup in his memory, and what it means to be the body of Christ now in our world. In other words, to be a foot-washing community. Since this gospel is also read on Holy Thursday, a few years ago in preparation for the Holy Thursday services, one of the parishes in the Tenderloin area in San Francisco discussed how they could best expand this foot washing ritual to include the broader community, those who lived in the Tenderloin around the church area, the women and men who are lost, the homeless who sleep on the streets, the panhandlers who stand on the corners, the prostitutes, the teenagers who live on their own. All of those women and men who live outside the church walls and gates. So after some brainstorming on Holy Thursday afternoon, about 50 volunteers went to the public plaza in San Francisco. They set up stools with pitchers of scented water and fresh towels, and they began inviting people to have their feet washed and massaged. One of my friends, Louise, was in charge and was overseeing the operation, and as she was standing there, she noticed that there was a rather well-dressed woman standing off in the corner of the plaza, kind of observing what was happening. So Louise went over to her and asked if she'd like to have her feet washed and massaged. The woman said yes and followed Louise over to the small stool and sat down. She didn't say anything, so Louise began washing her feet, massaging them, and also praying for her as she did for the other people as she washed their feet. Finally, at the end, Louise had dried the woman's feet, and the woman looked down at her and said, it's really not about massage, is it? It's really about giving, receiving, and giving back what you've received. Once you knew all these things, blessed are you if you put them into practice. It's easy to wash the feet of a baby whose toes are so cute, brown, pink, or black. It's easy to wash the feet of someone we love. But when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, it was more than just an act of love or humility or friendship. He was showing us what it means to be his disciple. He was breaking all the rules of the game that night, as he had done throughout his life. And he invites us to be schooled and sustained by his Spirit to do the same, to be a community that lives with God's vision before our eyes each day. A vision where there are no slaves, no masters, no hierarchy of importance, no domination, no belittling of others so that we can appear to be more important. Jesus asked his disciples and us, "Do you understand?" Our usual response is, "No, not really." But as we listen to this gospel, we probably understand one thing, and that is that this foot washing practice is not a once-a-year event. Our Holy Thursday foot washing is to be done daily in countless small and large acts of service that we offer to one another on a daily basis. The parish in San Francisco of which I was speaking started over about 55 years ago, and since that time has changed many people's lives. In collaboration with other organizations, they have collectively sponsored a dining hall, an organic garden, transitional housing for women, a drug rehabilitation center, a clinic, and low-income housing units. They have also had many pro bono lawyers that work on immigration issues and as well as domestic cases. In fact, collaboratively, they have more than 500 volunteers, people of every faith and no faith, people from a variety of backgrounds and nationalities. A few people years ago who had God's vision in mind and drew other good people towards that same vision. Perhaps that's partially what Jesus means when he says, "Blessed are you when you put this into practice." People of goodwill are drawn together when they see others embodying kindness, passionate about mercy, striving for justice. We are blessed when we serve others generously, while at the same time realizing that we are the ones being schooled, being taught by Jesus' Spirit. We are blessed when we trust enough in God's promise to be with us that we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable to the critical judgments of our pragmatic society. We are blessed when we dare to take Jesus' command seriously, because in the process, we see the face of Christ. One of the pastors of the San Francisco parish used to say this about the tenderloin, but I think we can change the word tenderloin and put in its place the name of the town or city in which we live and minister. He would say, "Christ lives in the tenderloin, and we need to find him each day in his many disguises."